for today's devotional. It's in today's bulletin if you'd like to read along with me. Pastor Gene once again wrote an article, and once again he wrote it according to God's timing. Isn't it wonderful to see how the Lord does that? It just goes right along with the message the Lord laid on my heart. He writes, we read these words in Isaiah 1 verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Pastor Gene asks this question. He says, was our Lord trying to reason with men and women who do not have His Holy Spirit dwelling in them? Absolutely not. Unregenerate sinners are unreasonable. All of them. Read it in 2 Corinthians 3:2. Human reason and human logic have absolutely nothing to do with salvation. It is the Spirit that quickened. The flesh profiteth nothing. That's what John 6:63 says. To portray our Lord as one who is trying to reason with a spiritually dead sinner is to imply that he might fail. Brethren, Jesus Christ is the Almighty God. He cannot fail. Our Lord Jesus reasons with those who have been convicted by God the Holy Spirit. Those who know that they are polluted in their own blood. Those who know their sins are as scarlet. Those who have a sincere desire to be clothed in the perfection, righteousness that will make them as white as snow in the sight of a thrice holy God. A thrice holy God who cannot even look upon sin. God gives us His Holy Spirit that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's in 1 Corinthians 2:12. When we experience the miracle of the new birth, we hear these words, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those are the sinners our Lord reasons with. Those who feel the burden of sin, those who labor seeking God's forgiving grace. And all of His enlightened sheep will have Jesus Christ revealed to them as their perfect Savior. By God-given faith, we believe Jesus Christ has made us perfectly righteous before God by His perfect obedience to His Father's will. We believe the precious blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from every spot and stain. We rejoice with a heartfelt praise to our God, our Savior, knowing that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You see why I sang this song? There's victory in Jesus. And in Him alone. Salvation is of the Lord. And of the Lord alone. Bow with me if you will, please. Father, we do thank You and praise You. Praising You, Lord, for Your wonderful grace and mercy upon Your people. It has been revealed to this new heart. This born-again heart, the heart that You have placed in us, Lord, that You rule everything. You could have easily just said, let them be. Let them be to themselves. And You do that to so many, Father, for all deserve that, even us. Yet, Lord, You look upon us as white as snow. What mercy and what grace You have for Your people that You would wash away our sins and say to each and every one of Your people, Your iniquities I will remember no more. Lord, I ask for You to give me this morning the unction, the words to speak comfort to Your people. Give me the words, Lord, to stand before Your sheep. Those that You declare, my sheep will hear my voice. My sheep shall hear my voice. Give me the words, Lord, to feed Your sheep. And we know, Lord, that those words are the words of Your Holy Scripture. We ask this, I ask this, Lord, in the name of my Savior, for His sake and for His glory alone. Christ Jesus. Amen. I'd like you to ask you to turn in your Bibles once again to the book of Malachi. Again, it's the last book of the Old Testament. And this morning we'll be looking at chapter 3. Last week I just got excited. I love to tell the old story. I love to tell the story, the wonderful story of how my Lord came down from glory for my sake. How he was made flesh for my sake. Because he has loved me from before the world ever was. Because he has loved all of his children before anything was ever created. And as I was leaving, after locking up, Brother Bill says, "Will there be a part 3? And I said, "Well, I don't know. We'll see." My title this morning is Complete in Him, Part 3. So, Bill, my answer is yes. You know, in reality, complete in Him is actually the message of every message, is it not? It's all about our completeness in our Lord and Savior. Comfort ye my people. What is more comfortable to a sinner than to know that their sins are made as white as snow by the Savior who saved them? Can there be anything more comforting than that? And being complete in Him means that I don't have to worry about going out and trying to earn my salvation like many of the world are taught to do. If you'll just do this, God has done His part. If you'll just do this or do that or whatever it is the church wants you to do, oh, there's no peace in that. I know people who have been saved multiple times. I know a person who's been baptized 5 times and they think that each time they've been baptized, they were saved again. Do you realize that that means that their God didn't do the job? Well, that's what's being taught from most pulpits, isn't it? I love to tell the story about the one who did this job, did it completely, did it perfectly, and I am complete in Him. It's always about Him. Our hymnal singing, our songs, there's victory in Jesus, not victory in John, not victory in you, not victory in the church. There's victory in Jesus. And that is so important to know, because that's where the peace of every sinner lies, in Christ, being complete in Him. Our worship is worshiping Him. It's all about who He is. Oh, can we comprehend? Can we comprehend what it means that God came down and was manifest in the flesh? We're studying the Gospels. We've been looking through the book of Luke, following the path of Peter. We started following the path of Peter from where the Lord called him by the seashore to where we are right now, where the Lord has died, been buried, and had been risen again. And he's just about to ascend into heaven. These men stood in the presence of God Almighty, their Creator, the very one who put them in their mother's womb. In John 1:1, He created everything. Some people have changed the words of John 1 to say that He was a God. They put the word A in there. I don't need to tell you who that is. Most of you probably already know. Jesus Christ is God. Plain and simple. 3 distinct persons, absolutely. How can I explain that to you? I can't, but the entire Bible talks about it all the way through. It's all about Him. It's all about what He has done, being made flesh. Did you know that Christ came here to be a servant? He humbled Himself. He humbled Himself from the glory of being the Creator of everything. He humbled Himself, became flesh, to serve the ones that He's loved. And that's exactly what He did. He served each and every one of us, Polly. He got down, God Almighty got down and washed the feet of His chosen people. just like he did with his disciples. And if that wasn't enough, he laid down his life for us. He says, I lay down my life. Wicked hands crucified him absolutely. And there's no excuse for what they did. But he is the one who went to that cross by the determinate counsel of his own will. He laid down his life and then he raised it up again. That's what he says. That's the power of God. We worship what he's doing right now. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that there's somebody in heaven representing you right now? We brought this out in our Bible study. He said to Peter, he said, the devil desires to sift you as wheat. And he says that to each and every one of his people. Every one of us have the devil desires to sift us. He goes about roaring as a lion. As we saw last week, if it were possible. But it's not. Because we belong to the Lord, nothing can ever pluck us out of the hand of God. Does that not help the peace that we might have in this world? I never get tired of telling you this. John Reeves can't even pluck himself out of God's hand. And I try all the time. It only takes 10 seconds of walking out that door in the morning when my mind starts going other directions and starts thinking of other things, thinking of the things of the world, seeing all the glitterous things that bring, they call it tinkling ears. Make your ears happy to hear. People love to hear good things about themselves. Oh, how thankful I am that my Lord sits on his throne right now, working everything out for the good to those that love him. And as we brought out in Bible study, I love him. Not like I should. Not like I want to. And not like I will. But love him yet I do. And it's because he loved me first. This book that we read from, this book containing all these words that talk about our Lord and Savior right from the beginning of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. All the way to the end, to the last page in Revelations. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part of the book of life and out of the whole city from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things says, surely I come quickly, even so come, Lord Jesus. Oh, even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. It's a hymn book. Today we turn to see a promise, this one who has created all things made, a promise that could not be broken. God made a promise to the people of Israel, but that promise was based on what their following his law would be. It was a promise based on what they would do. And as all mankind do, they come up short. As you and I will do, if we were left to ourselves, we come up short. As it is with all mankind, the carnal man cannot see the depth of their depravity, the depth of their sin. Our Lord describes it this way in Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitfully wicked. The heart is deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? We talked a little bit in Bible study about our faith, our feelings of love. Love is a feeling. Don't ever put any stock in anything that you have in this flesh. It says right there, the heart is deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? This promise that we are about to see today is not a promise made on the condition of men, though. This is one of those promises that the Lord makes on condition of Him, the condition of what He will do. In chapter 1 and 2 of Malachi, Malachi is sent to speak to the preachers, speak to the priests. Malachi says in chapter 1, verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. He says, I have loved you, saith the Lord, speaking to those priests. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob and hated Esau, and I laid his mountains and his heritage to waste. He's speaking to the priests. In chapter 2, verse 1, and now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. He's speaking to the priests. And we went over all this last week. But our Lord did not leave His people in that condition, did He? Look at verses 1, if you would. 1 through 4 of chapter 3. Behold, behold all you who bring tainted sacrifices. And that's what the works of men are. They're tainted sacrifices. Behold all of you who do that. I will send my messenger and he shall prepare the way before me. Notice where the promise is here. It's not in what man shall do, it's what our Lord will do. I will send my messenger, he says, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who? Who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old, as in the former years. Did he say, go out and do your sacrifices correctly? No. He said, I will come. When the Lord comes to one of his chosen blood-bought children, and reveals who he is, what he has done, and where he is now to that sinner. Oh, the sacrifice becomes clear to our Lord and Savior. It's the sacrifice of His Son, and it's His blood He sees. Notice in verse 3, if you would. Now, before I get there with that, I want to just say this. If I was to have a subtitle to today's message, it would be the word purged. That means to be cleaned. It means to have all the filth washed away. That's a pretty good word, isn't it? Purged. If you're a sinner, that's an awesome word. Purged. Notice what it says in verse 3. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them. Did you notice the pretense in the word purge? This is important, for the Lord of glory had not come yet. You see, there'd be another 400 years or so before the one who this speaks of would come. The Lord whom ye seek. The Old Testament saints looked for the coming of the Savior. We look to what He has already been here. It's done. It's finished. Salvation is complete. It's accomplished. Turn, if you will, over to the 40th chapter of Isaiah. My message today is as always. It's a message of finished work. Just as the prophets and the priests of God, not the false prophets, not the false priests, but the priests and the prophets of God. What did they do? They pointed the people to what Christ would do. They pointed the people to where their salvation laid, and that was in the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming. Well, that's what we do today. Only now we can point to what He's already done. If you're a child of God, if you're one for whom the Father hath given to the Son, if you are one of those, He says, my sheep hear my voice. And He said that right after He said to some unbelieving Jews, you don't hear me. You don't see what my miracles are. You don't see any of that because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. If you're one of His chosen people, His elect, as it says in 1 Peter, one of those for whom the Son laid down His life, shed His own blood, then these words will bring much comfort to you as you walk through this valley of the shadow of death. Look with me, if you would, at Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. He's speaking to Isaiah. He's telling Isaiah, go out and comfort my people. Those who know what they are. Those who know that they're just like that man in the temple who was down on his knees crying out, Lord, have mercy on me for what I am. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. What is it he is to cry unto her? That her warfare is accomplished. That's kind of what I've been saying ever since this message started, isn't it? You're complete in Him. That's the same thing. Your warfare is accomplished. Everything for salvation for His people is accomplished and done. Look further. Your warfare, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Highway is something that goes along and has no stop signs on it. The highway to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are no stop signs if He's your God. You don't have to stop here and do that. You don't have to stop there and do that. It's a highway all the way through the Lord Jesus Christ. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, verse 4, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Does he not say, ye are complete in him? If your Lord, if your God speaks something and you don't believe it to be true, then you don't have a God. The true and living God, when He says something, it shall be done. It's a promise made of Him, not of wicked hands. Now, if you would turn over to Hebrews chapter 1. We'll be looking in Hebrews chapter 1, but I want to read from chapter 9, verse 22, if you would first allow me this. And almost all things are by the law purged, washed, cleaned, with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Folks, this is not talking about the blood of men, for men will spend an eternity in death. It's called the second death, and their blood will never redeem them. The blood that our Lord is speaking of here for the remission of sins, it must be sinless. It must be perfect. It must be perfect in order to satisfy the justice of God, which is perfect. The Lord God has never been satisfied with the blood of bulls and goats. He has never been satisfied with the works of men. The priests of that day, when the prophet Malachi was sent, had taken the things of God, the oracles of God, and they polluted them by adding their own works. Am I not describing what we do this very day? They polluted them by adding their own works. But not only that, they went further. They made the worship of God a profitable thing. A man I work with, we were in a motel room one night up in Oregon. And we had laid over up there. We had emergency runs up to Medford. And we laid over and we were all sitting around talking. And he said, you know, I used to go to church. He says, I used to go to church. He goes, yeah, my dad was a preacher. He still is. He still is, but I will never set foot in a church again. Wow. Why? What happened? Well, I was sitting there one day, one evening, him and some of the elders were sitting around the table in the kitchen. He goes, I was in the other room. They thought I was just watching TV, not paying any attention. And their entire conversation was, oh, how do we go about getting more people in to bring up the coffer? We got some things going on. The pastor's got to do this. We want to bring in somebody else and we don't have to pay them to do that. It was all about. And he sat around and he said, well, we can't do that. We can't do that. People know what that is. He says, when I heard my dad say that, he says, that was the last time I ever wanted to believe anything he said. And now the man's a full-grown man. And still he won't go into a church. That's what the priests of the day of Malachi were doing. They were making church. They were making worship a profitable thing to fill their pockets. Profit became more important than the truth. So they began to deceive the people. People would come into the church with their sacrifices. And they would say, oh no, look, there's a spot on this one. You'll have to get rid of that. It's not good enough. Here, take this one over here. Oh, by the way, you need me to pay me $5 for it. Or whatever the cost was. They were polluting the worship of God for the profit of their own pockets. Am I not describing what the world is doing today? Our Lord is our Savior. He is our all in all. We either rest in Him or we are not of Him. I know that's hard to see. John is one of those kind of people who feels he has to dive in and get something done. The hardest thing for me to do is rest. I'm so foolish at times that I jump in and try to do things and mess it all up. And I mess it up really bad. And you can apply that statement I just made to a lot of stuff. Oh, how I wish to rest in my Lord more. He knew no sin, nor was there any guile in his lips. You see, all that our Lord has done, all that he did, all that he was, glorified the Father perfectly. Everything he does is perfect, and salvation is most assuredly that also. Our Lord doesn't save something halfway. He saves. Jesus saves. It's perfect. It's complete. It's a finished work. Again, in Hebrews 9, we read this, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained. Did you catch that? Obtained means that that's done. It's finished. It's accomplished. Israel, your warfare is accomplished. Obtained eternal redemption for us. Notice the past tense of it. It was done. The works of salvation are done. Our Lord said as He hung on that cross, it is finished. In Matthew 11:28, He tells us this, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. and I will give you rest. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1. The people of God are complete in Him. And He makes this very, very clear to us, not only in His word, but in His actions towards us. When we start thinking it's our own, that we need to start doing something to help God out a little bit, what's the first thing He does? He lets us stub our toe. Everybody knows what that's like, walking around in the dark. You stub your toe, it hurts like all get out. We, the people of God, are complete in Him. Period. Are you with me in Hebrews? Look at verses 1 through verse 3. And God at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. See our description of who the Son is? Who is He? He's God in the flesh. He made all the worlds. Verse 3, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His persons and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself what? What did it say in Malachi? He was going to purge them, wasn't it? He was going to come and He was going to purge them. We're complete in our Lord and Savior. Everything is done in Him. He purged us from our sins. That's what it says right here. He had by Himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now turn again over to Colossians chapter 2 and read with me the title for today's message. Colossians chapter 2, just a few pages to the left of Hebrews there. Verse 1. Paul writing to the saints at Colossae. He writes, "For I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom," speaking of Christ, "are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you and with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, and ye are complete in Him." We are complete in this One which is the head of all principality and power. This One in whom also ye are circumcised. This One who comes to us and circumcises with the heart, with the hand of God, not the hand of men. With circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sin in the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, all of you, all the people that belong to Him, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened." That means made alive. Oh, to be made alive in Christ together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." I close with this question. What think ye of Christ? I know I close with that question a lot, don't I? I ask myself that question every time I get up in the morning. Lord, thank you for another day. Help me walk today, Lord, glorifying my Savior, not John. Don't leave me to myself. Because just like Peter, I'll take my eyes off of you, Lord. Thank God that he doesn't take his eyes off of me. Thank God that he has had his eyes on his people since before the world began. And nothing can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Lord, help me to walk. Help me to walk glorifying your name and your name alone. Amen.